father of our Constitution. I often find myself bewildered at the people in this country as to how blatantly blind and deaf they are to the issues that are directly in front of their faces. In this country, people are led to believe, through the lying state-controlled narrative, that the only people that are under attack by some dictator, well, of course, that only takes place in a third world nation. So, without further ado, let me lay some questions for you to ponder and to consider. Since September 11th, 2001, who has been creating unconstitutional bureaucracies to further control and oppress the American people? Has it been a third world foreign dictator? Was the unconstitutional Patriot Act enacted by a foreign government? The Patriot Act was not read by one representative and was pushed through at 3:45 a.m. Or what of the unconstitutional Department of Homeland Security, which is premised on a pretended authority, stacking oversight and control over those who are known Muslim Brotherhood operatives? The Transportation Security Administration is another pretended authority and created office to violate Americans while traveling to and fro. Remember, this does not apply to illegal immigrants. They are there to harass Americans, which is a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights. Is it a foreign third world dictator that is labeling American Christians and patriots as the enemies of the state? Is it a foreign third world dictator that is covering up for terrorists? Is it a foreign third world dictator that is suing governors on the southern borders who are magnifying the laws of our constitutional republic against illegal immigrants? Is it a foreign government attempting to divide and conquer the American people in hopes of domestic insurrection? Or was it a foreign third world dictator that released 179,027 illegal felons onto the streets of America, of course, only endangering the lives of the American people? Is it a foreign third world dictator that seeks to strip Americans from the right to bear arms? Is it a foreign third world dictator trying to demoralize America through redefinition of God's design for marriage? Is it a foreign third world dictator attempting to force Americans to pay for the socialist blueprints and unconstitutional Obamacare, Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution? Is it a foreign third world dictator that sends out spoilers to destroy groups that oppose this administration's dangerous ideologies through the Internal Revenue Service? Is it a foreign third world dictator that is promoting and identifying America as a democracy to destroy America's constitutional republic? Read Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. Is it a foreign third world dictator that is illegally, through a violation of Article 10 of the Bill of Rights, indoctrinating America's youth through International Baccalaureate, a global education scheme, No Child Left Behind, or Common Core? Is it a foreign third world dictator that sanctioned the murder of 3,000 to 4,000 innocent babies in the womb per day in America, totaling 55 to 60 million murdered babies, which is equivalent to 18 states? Is it a foreign third world dictator that is attacking America's Christian heritage and the American Constitution?
Nope.
Is it a foreign third world dictator that is defending, supporting, and promoting America's sworn enemies?
Nope.
Is it a foreign third world dictator that is lying to the American people on a daily basis?
Nope.
Is it a foreign third world dictator that has transgressed the Constitution, behaved badly over 1,063 times in the last 7 years? Finally, is it the American people who have tolerated those who have committed the crimes of a foreign third world dictator in their own country? Why, yes, it is. When God wants to judge a nation, he gives them wicked rulers, said John Calvin. And while the American people stand back and complain of a criminal administration violating the constitutional covenant, they fail to remember that they are guilty of violating God's. Well, and there you have it. Is it true? Oh my goodness, it absolutely is true, 100%. Did you know that the founder state constitutions were an average of only 5 pages nationwide? Did you also know that they focused more on the character of those placed in office more than the laws themselves? For example, Delaware constitutional requirements for men in office: I do profess faith in God, the Father, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, blessed forevermore. How about Pennsylvania Constitution? I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and the punisher of the wicked. And then over to North Carolina's Constitution: no person who shall deny the being of God, or the truth of the Christian religion, or the divine authority, whether of the Old or New Testaments, or who shall hold religious principles incompatible with the freedom and safety of the state, shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil department within this state.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Okay, folks, really quick, I just want to throw this at you so you can see it for yourself as to what's going on. Again, this is information that nobody really cares about because they think it's never going to happen again, when in fact, they're gearing up to do it all over again. Just last week, I played the WHO, a terrorist organization, heads that organization unconstitutionally. They gave powers over to the UN to basically take control over another pandemic that they themselves are responsible for conspiring. Read Jeremiah 11:9. But I'm saying that for the very purpose that we have Alessandro Croce, 30 years old, from Teramo, Italy. He died after collapsing at his hotel room. And again, folks, I could spend all day just on this one topic that I'm highlighting even now concerning all of the people that have died. Here's another one for you. Vax poisoned KTLA reporter. He was his name was Sam Rubin. He just died instantly from heart disease. And interestingly enough, we all know what that's all about because he was the one that was out there promoting the jab, in fact. And again, folks, I don't mean to reiterate this to the point of just gobbling up all of my time, but I am here to tell you that people are dying left and right and nobody's even paying any attention to it, as if to suggest it has nothing to do with them. Again, read Amos 6:3. I wanted to show you one more thing here too as well. 6 deaths of marathon runners in just the last 2 weeks, all under 36 years old. Did you hear what I said? But everything's normal. We have Ellen Cassidy. She was 24 years old. Olivia Tuohy, 24 years old. Christina Santorino, 36 years old. Hoa Gabrielle Hofstadter, 20 years old. Carolina Oliver, 31 years old. And then we have Elihud Kipsang, 28 years old. Okay, this is just one post. These are the people that are dying today. Well, most people aren't even paying attention to what's going on here. Also wanted to give you another heads up, friends, that just over the last couple days here in Ohio, the Muslims in their Aramaic language are actually shouting down Allahu Akbar in the sense of giving victory to Allah, as they would say, concerning another office win concerning the government in that particular state. As I've told you before, I say it again, that you have over 800 Muslims that have run for office just over the last year. And the fact of the matter is, friends, you better get with it, because you're losing control. Because once they're in control, friends, it's going to be all over for you. And you have nobody to blame but yourselves. And I know, again, I know people don't like that. Here, I also wanted to highlight something. And it doesn't matter if you like it or not. Here, I'm just giving you a little love that you're not used to. And the little love that I'm giving you that you're not used to is telling you the truth. And the truth is, you're responsible for what's going on in this country. Also wanted to let you know that these people, you do understand, come into this country. They're not here to assimilate. You're not seeing any of them assimilate for the most part. And I'm talking about the Muslims coming from the Middle East. But what you are seeing them do is come here and then assail and assault who we are as a people. And in the process, they're getting the help of the mainstream media and the powers that are tolerated by the American people. But you also do know, I hope, that they say that they are not submissive to the laws in America. Matter of fact, we have right in front of me, for those that are on social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of that page, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com, if you'd like to check it out. Muslim woman, F-A-F-O, when she tells cops she's above American white laws. This is also CARE, that's an acronym for these Muslim organizations, which, by the way, many of the heads of CARE organization in the United States are in prison for terroristic threats or acts, okay? So again, understand that this is going on. Again, I'm bringing this in the face of the people because the mainstream media has you distracted from what really matters. Matter of fact, if you see anything out there, friends, it's interesting to take note that here, I want you to see this and I want you to hear this. Did you know that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the agents that were involved in the Lavoie-Finicum standoff, they were awarded a bravery medal? Did you guys know this? The individuals, the turncoats, the traitors to their own people, murdering one of their own, receive an award from the FBI concerning the act of murder that they committed against Lavoie-Finicum. I don't know if you've seen this film before or not, friends, but it's something that you need to take note to, because even if you go back, for example, to Ruby Ridge, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, but if you go back to Ruby Ridge, which was back in 1992 under the globalist George W.H. Bush, who is now in hell where he belongs, it's interesting that he appointed the FBI to go assail the family of Randy Weaver. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of this story or not, but it's pretty famous. But back in 1992, there was a standoff at Ruby Ridge where the FBI director, Larry Potts, was after murdering, here, listen to this. This is what you need to hear. After Randy's wife was shot and killed by an FBI sniper, they know the name of the sniper, okay? After the wife came out holding the baby, the FBI shot the wife in the head, killing her, holding the baby. Sammy Weaver was the 14-year-old son of Randy Weaver. He was shot in the back by a coward in the FBI and killed by a deputy U.S. Marshal during the initial exchange of what they said was gunfire. I don't know if you're aware of the fact that they also killed the family dog. They shot and killed by a deputy U.S. Marshal. What I want you to know about that one, friends, is even after the little boy was shot and the wife was shot, the FBI on the outside of the home there mocked the dead wife and the dead child and the dead dog, trying to get Randy to come out so they could shoot him dead. You all know that Randy Weaver won a $3 million lawsuit against the government for their crimes committed against his wife and his child and his dog. Okay, most people don't know that because the mainstream media never wants to tell you that. Did you know that following the Ruby Ridge standoff in 1992, did you know that the FBI director, Larry Potts, was promoted to the second highest position in the FBI by Director Louis Frey, according to the Cato Institute, despite friends all of the concerns about his involvement in the Ruby Ridge affair. So here it is. To go up the political ladder in this country is now to kill your own, and somehow or another you're highly rewarded and promoted in doing so. I just want you to understand, again, what's going on in your country, because the mainstream media doesn't want you to know. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Join us this year for Content Christian Media Conference. Join hundreds of filmmakers, actors, screenwriters, podcasters, and authors during this five-day, five-star event. Come expectant and leave equipped as a content creator for the kingdom of God. September 22nd through 26th at Capernaum Studios in Poolville, Texas. Register today at ChristianMediaConference.com. That's ChristianMediaConference.com.
This is Sam calling from Minnesota. Are you tired of listening to radio show hosts, public speakers, do-nothing politicians, weak and effeminate men who do nothing but talk and talk about the issues we face in our country today, resolving nothing? So am I, and that's why I listen to Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty radio show. Bradley's message of hope and resolve is not only something broadcasted through the airwaves, but also something that he takes to the enemy's front door with a vehement passion. Believe me, I know. I've witnessed it every step of the way as his son for the last 18 years. I don't know about you, but in our country today, we need men now, more than ever, who are willing to take action and not hide behind the safety of a Facebook post from your fake name social media account. Bradley demonstrates his words through actions by preaching nationwide at churches, prisons, high schools, event centers, college campuses, and so much more. Step up to the plate and be the man or woman God called you to be, and join Bradley Dean and others in this fight for our generation and future generations alike.
BBSRadio.com.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Did you know that the University of Houston political science professors searched to find where the founding fathers chose their ideas? They assembled 1,500 writings from the era of the founders, and they researched for 10 years and isolated 3,154 direct quotes and identified the source of the quotes. Number one, 8.3% was quotes from Baron Charles D. Montesquieu. Number two, 7.9% was quotes from Sir William Blackstone. Number three, 2.9% was quotes from John Locke. And number four, 34% of their quotes came directly from the Bible. And when researching where Montesquieu, Blackstone, and Locke got their ideas from, they found that theirs came from the Bible as well. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Wanted to let you know, too, if you want to call in at any time, you can do that. That number is 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that, we follow the Christ. Friends, there's nothing stable but heaven and the Constitution, said President Buchanan. He was absolutely 100% correct. Know your history, friends, because if you don't, history is going to repeat itself. Read Hosea 4:6 when you get a moment. Now, let me go back to what I was just talking about concerning the Muslims that think that they're above the law here in the United States of America. And they will blatantly tell you that. And if you ask their radical leaders that have been appointed by the corrupt politicians within the halls of government to use as a political battering ram against their political opposition, even unto death, if you know anything about history, you'll know what I'm talking about. They're here. They're doing their stuff, friends. They're doing exactly what they do in every other country. And now they mean to bring it to the West. From Europe, They mean to drive all of this crime over now to the United States of America. And you're seeing more and more and more of this. And I'm talking about in particular right now, if it wasn't the woman that said she doesn't answer to the police because she's above American law here. There's a video that I just pulled up a moment ago right before the last break. It's obvious to see as to what they act out in what it is that they believe, because they really do believe that they do not have to submit to our laws, which again proves the point that they're not here to assimilate to our ways of life, to submit to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, one of the things that I had told the American people is this is one of the things that I'm not going to stand down and watch. But we have a Muslim man charged with rape after assaulting unconscious woman in front of a local church. This was in, of all places, Americans, in Nashville, the Bible Belt. Now, it's not been the Bible Belt, and regardless if they want to call themselves the Bible Belt or not, they haven't been the Bible Belt for a long, long time in this country. What's going on there is shameful. It's shameful as to what we're seeing from the professors in the over 300,000 pulpits that stand down when they should stand up and protest. Apparently, they don't understand what protestant means. Well, that's what we're doing here on the radio, is showing you exactly what we're supposed to do, again, because we love the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we can't do what we do until we first love Him, and He bestows His Holy Ghost upon us to give us power to have power over all of the works of the enemy. Cross-check everything I'm telling you. Go to Luke 10:19. Matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and do this for you so you can see who we are. And not what it is, or should I say, not what you think it is, in the sense of a lack of Christianity in this country. When you go to Luke 10:19, what does it say? It says, "Behold, this is Jesus speaking to us. He said, I've given you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." What is it that we didn't understand there? I'm just kind of curious. How do we just go ahead and erase from our minds Hebrews 11:32, the faith chapter as a whole? How do we erase John 14:12, where He said, "I'll do greater things through you than I did because I go to my Father"? What is it that we didn't understand about that? I know that there's a lot of people out there that like to boast about how the devil controls this and controls that, but he doesn't control anything that the Lord doesn't allow him to control. And if you belong to the Lord, anything that happens in your life, green light or a red light, that's all up to Him, not up to the enemy. And furthermore, let me show you this, just to put this one to bed, per se. But if I go over to Matthew 20, verse 28, verse 18, I'm typing as I'm talking. I can actually do four things at the same time, friends. I'm a drummer, right? But if I go over to Matthew 28, verse 18, what does it say? "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Hey, folks, don't flatter the enemy. Don't flatter the enemy by giving him more power than he thinks he already has. He is under the control of Jesus Christ. The government is upon His shoulders. My Father is the governor of all nations. The enemy does nothing without His permission, period. Again, I want to make clear that everybody understands that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. And guess who He bestowed that power unto? The church. Real Christians who are overcomers, not succumbers. Those that are made more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37. Because they all understand that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay? I just want to make clear that you understand, as it tells us in 1 John chapter 5, that our faith, if it's the faith of Christ, it overcomes the world. It overcomes the world. It does not succumb to the prince of the power of the air. And certainly we don't take our counsels from him. And certainly we're not taken by the fear of the enemy. We're moved by the fear of God with strong confidence and much boldness. Boldness as a lion, Scripture tells us. And boldness means forward to danger. I just wanted to make clear, again, friends, that we're all on the same page here. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay, if you want to call in, 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. I want to get over to this because I was going to hit on it a couple days ago, and I never actually got the time to do it because we started getting phone calls. Because I've always promised the listeners that if you want to call in and make it your show, we can do that. Okay, so if it's pro or con, Jude 3 and 4, the phone lines are yours. 281-845-4704. There was a man that walked by, actually there was two of them, and they were walking together, and they were walking by a man's great mansion. And one of the men looked up at him and said, "Man, look at that mansion. I wonder what it cost him." And the other man, in his Christian wisdom, said, "It cost him his soul." And it's interesting that Scripture tells us that what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And as Bradley always responds to this particular part of Scripture in Mark 8:36, it's always lose the world, gain your soul, right? Because it was Jesus that said, "He who tries to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it." It wasn't we come to Jesus for what we can get. Jesus said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me," is what he said. Opposite of what we're hearing in the American church today on so many different levels. But I just want to go over to this because we all have been raised up in this country to chase our dreams. Everybody has, ever since we've been little kids, we've been told to dream and dream big and live out your dreams and make your dreams a reality. You know, that's the will of the flesh, is what it is. It's absolutely the will of the flesh, because I'll tell you what, when you belong to the Lord, it has nothing to do with the will of the flesh, and it has nothing to do with your dreams. It has everything to do with living out the will of God through the vision that he gives you in parallel. And as the Lord told Peter, he said, "When you were young, you went whithersoever you wanted to go, but when you're old, another's going to gird you and take you whithersoever you don't want to go." I mean, men in the natural, 1 Corinthians 2:14, they learn that when they go into the military. I mean, what's the first thing they do when they go into the military? They shave their heads, they strip them of all of their clothes, they tear them down, or then what they do is they give them their new attire, their new identity. They're trained up as soldiers. They're ripped down for half of the time that they're in basic training. And then throughout the rest of or the duration of their training, what are they told? That they have now become a so-and-so. Well, so it is with the things of Christ. Psalm 51, verse 17. Isaiah 66, verse 2. 34, 18 of Psalms. And the list goes on. Isaiah 57 talks about the same thing. "The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. O Lord, thou wilt not despise." In other words, Spurgeon said, until a man becomes nothing, he can become, God can create nothing out of him. Martin Luther said, "He who despairs, until a man despairs of himself, he's not able or ready to receive grace." He's exactly right. And the only thing that brings you to that point, friends, is the conviction of the Holy Ghost with the law of Christ in the hand of Christ. Okay, as a schoolmaster to bring men unto Christ, Galatians 3:24. Now again, I want to go back to this because we've all been raised up in this country to chase our dreams, to be successful so that we might live high on the hog, per se. Isn't that what they say? Yeah. And if we reach what we call success here, then we have, in essence, created a world with no need of the living God. Is that true? Yes, it is. For those that might not yet fully understand, it would be little to do with the Lord and a whole lot to do with the world, if you get your way. See, it tells us in Matthew 6:24 that no man can serve two masters. I'll come right back to this in just a moment. We're going to stick to this topic. If you want to call in at any time, 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. We'll be right back.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think. and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Your love of liberty, your respect for the laws, your habits of industry, and your practice of the moral and religious obligations are the strongest claims to national and individual happiness. President George Washington. He goes on and says, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and a happier people than you are. Congress will do everything they can to assist you in this wise intention." The son of liberty, Samuel Adams, said, "Let ministers and philosophers, statesmen and patriots, unite their endeavors to renovate the age of impressing the minds of men with the importance of educating their little boys and girls, inculcating in the minds of the youth the love of their country, of instructing them in the art of self-government, and in short, of leading them in study and practice of the exalted virtues of the Christian system."
Join us this year for Content Christian Media Conference. Join hundreds of filmmakers, actors, screenwriters, podcasters, and authors during this five-day, five-star event. Come expectant and leave equipped as a content creator for the Kingdom of God. September 22nd through 26th at Capernaum Studios in Poolville, Texas. Register today at ChristianMediaConference.com. That's ChristianMediaConference.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi, I'm State Representative Walter Hudson from Minnesota. As a public servant, I face constant pressures that threaten to pull me away from my core values. That's why I turned to Bradley Dean and his ministry through the Sons of Liberty radio show. They're one of the only media outlets that truly challenges me to stay rooted in God's word while fighting for liberty and justice in our government. Tune in Monday through Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time for hard-hitting truth that inspires action. Visit sonsoflibertyradio.com to listen now.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. We're talking about the American dream, how we've been sold an American lie, because in many ways, the American dream stands in contrast to the Word of God. And we're going to get right back to this as promised. I'm going to go ahead and take the phone calls as they come in. We have Jim from North Carolina. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty, my friend. What say you?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The American dream is a form of idolatry.
It indeed is. Okay.
Along with the other multiple idolatries we have.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, across the boards. I remember reading a book by D.L. Moody many years ago, and he talked about the idols in America, how they're all over the place. This was back in the late 1800s. And so just imagine how much that has multiplied since that particular time.
Oh, yeah. The big one is, well, there's a lot of big ones, but one of the biggest ones is money.
Yep.
And what's really a dichotomy there is there is no lawful money in this system. It's all debt and credit.
Yep.
And when you see somebody rob a bank for Federal Reserve notes, it makes you scratch your head.
I've heard this conversation before, Jim. Indeed, and therefore we have 345 million people that should stand up and hold the robbers accountable for the crime of theft. I agree.
Especially the political ones.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to hit on something you just got done telling us here, friends. He was just talking about, our friend from North Carolina was talking about how money is one of the greatest, idols that we have. Absolutely it is. I mean, if you look at Mark 10, verse 17, the rich young ruler, what was it that held him back from the Lord? It was what he held highest on his heart, and it was his riches. Read Mark 10, 17, and go to the end of the chapter. Because it's everything. I mean, in folks, in this country, it's exactly what has become idle in the eyes of so many. You know, we hear this often that, you know, the money is the root of all evil. And I'm here to tell you, it's not the money that's the root of all evil. It's the love. Scripture says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And that's exactly right. And it can be the love of anything else that you put in before the Lord, from him having the throne of your heart. If you look at Jeremiah 29:11-13, he says that you'll find him when you seek him with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. You'll also find the same thing in Matthew 6:33. And again, I think we should take heed to what he has to say here. So hence, what we're going to do is we're going to revert back to the American dream. And again, if you want to call in, 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. The American dream, again, as I said during the end of the last segment, in many ways, just like our friend Jim from North Carolina had to say, stands in contrast to the Word of God. And again, if we knew the Word, we would see how it stands in contrast. And I don't really see how people don't understand that. Read Deuteronomy 6:12 when you get a moment. Because it's the Lord that gives wealth. He's the one that gives it. And he also warns what happens when you forget him after he gives it. That's in Deuteronomy 6:12. But again, Mark 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul?" There's a lot of that going on, friends. And there's people right now that are listening to me that need to hear this. Matthew 6:24 tells us, no man, not a one, can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And it goes on, you cannot serve God and mammon. Well, some will say, what's mammon? Mammon is riches, wealth, or the God of riches. Now, I understand surviving. I understand the need for money to do the surviving. But like anything else, friends, we can take that in excess and we can forget where it comes from. And that's not what we want to be a part of. But again, yet in America, this is what we're taught to do in seeking a better way of life. And that life consists of what we possess when Scripture tells us just the exact opposite. I mean, don't get me wrong here. There's nothing wrong with wealth in itself. But not if it takes precedent over the Lord that gives it. Yet it becomes an issue when we put riches again before the Lord. It's not like we can take what we gain here with us when we die. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:7, he said, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out." And also, if you take the time to seek out Scripture in Jesus in Scripture, you'll take heed to what he has to say. For example, making the statement that nobody rebuked the covetous more than Christ himself did. See, we lost this because we failed to do our due diligence. The word covetousness, by the way, means a strong or an inordinate desire of obtaining, possessing some supposed good, usually in a bad sense, and applied to an inordinate desire of wealth or avarice. That's Webster's 1828 dictionary and the definition of covetousness. Now let's go over to Luke 12:15-21 real quick. He said unto them, Jesus, "Take heed, pay careful attention to yourself, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he has, what he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll go ahead and pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, this is the rich man, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We can say that in the American way of conveying this to the people is that, you know, I'm going to retire young. I'm going to retire, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live off of my possession, and I'm going to forget about everything else. I'm just going to live for that. We're taught all day long to do just that. We absolutely are. But what does the Lord say in response to that? Because this rich man said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be married. But what did the Lord say? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards the Lord. Luke 12:15-21. Again, the Bible is clear. Beware of covetousness, because as men trample each other down in the pursuit of wealth, we're not to be deceived, the Bible tells us. Again, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In contrast, friends, how do we put this up with what we hear from the pulpits in America today? Or even the government in the day? How do we put this up to that? Okay? For the love of money, do you know how many politicians, do you know how many preachers have sold their soul for money that they can't take with them? I mean, that's incredible. Thomas Brooks, in contrast to this nonsense that we see across this country today, said, adversity has slain her thousands, but prosperity her tens of thousands. So what slays men more so, prosperity or adversity? If you take adversity for what it is by the Holy Ghost in the hand of God, it's interesting, if that adversity drives you to the Lord, that's a blessing, not a curse. But if it drives you away from the Lord, it's not a blessing, you're making it a curse. Because those adversities, if they're sent at all to inflict or to chastise, are usually sent by the Lord to drive you to the cross. Okay? But when you have your prosperity, what does it do? It entertains you. It keeps you from the cross. How many times have we seen people win the lottery and they say after they lost everything that it was the biggest mistake they ever made by buying that ticket in the first place? But they had to go through the process to learn the process and to learn the lesson through the process. Let's learn it before, friends. That's wisdom. That's prudence. It's learning the lesson by looking at other people's scars so we don't have to go through the same process. Men too often, again, forget the Lord in their riches. Deuteronomy 8:11-18. And some of the wealthiest people, as a matter of fact, if you think about this, and I've seen this 100 times, some of the wealthiest people in the world are so poor, listen to me carefully, they're so poor because that's all they have is money, friends. That's all they have is money. Some of the wealthiest people in this world are so poor because all that they have is money. And again, if you know anybody that's wealthy, tell me how happy they are. And again, I'm not saying this applies to all, but I'm saying a good portion of the people, more than not, you're going to, as a matter of fact, I do a whole show on this about rich and famous people that are so wealthy that their last words were everything opposite or in contrast once again or runs antithetical to what you thought they would say. They were miserable. They had everything that they wanted. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Jim Carrey, the actor, that said many years ago, I wish people could have everything that they wanted to see and to find out that it's not what they wanted. And again, I know I'm talking to some people here, folks. You got to listen to the lessons the Lord gives us. Because in conclusion, I say in short, in biblical order, lose the world and gain your soul. It's always the best track to be on. I'm going to go over and take my friend Dan from Indiana. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you, my friend? Do we have Dan?
Hey, good afternoon, Bradley. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you, man. It's all yours.
Thank you. The American dream, maybe I've got a different take on it. I want to live within the law, the freedom to do what the law allows.
Amen.
I want to be left alone and raise my family. I don't want to build an empire. I taught my children skills. made sure they were schooled, and when they grew up, they knew how to provide for themselves and their families. That's it. I'm
Amen.
Not building an empire.
Amen.
I just want to live. I've just retired recently, and I think I have enough money for my wife and I to live comfortably, live out our years. That's all I want.
Yep. Can I have you I'm hang on, Dan? Hang on, Dan. This is a good call.
Yeah.
Hang on one moment. I'm going to put you on hold. I'll be right back after this hard break. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com, 281-845-4704. Again, we'll be right back on the other side of this break. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the Internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSRadio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble, our churches, our families. We need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean, and we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
President Franklin Roosevelt said, "We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of our republic." Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. I do want to give you guys a heads up. If you guys are in the states of Minnesota, or if you're in the five-state area, do remember that we got the Minnesota State Fair starting this Thursday. We're going to be there for 12 days, 12 hours a day. And folks, that is a fixed course for us, let me tell you. It's a three-hour round trip every day in the process of having half the team over at the Minnesota State Fair at the booth, reaching out to the potential numbers of 3.1 million people. So we're honored to be a part of that. Luke 19:10, Matthew 4:17. Read these scriptures, friends. I'm going to go ahead and take our friend Dan back up and get some more of what Dan had to bring to the table today. And if you want to call in, this is the final segment. The number is 281-845-4704. Dan, I am back, and it is all yours, my friend. Can you just go ahead and reiterate that to the American people as to what you just said concerning what you would deem the American dream, please?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Brad.
Of course.
To me, the American dream is liberty. As you've said many times, the ability to do what the law allows. And that, to me, means raising my family, teaching my sons and daughter the skills of life and how to provide for their own family.
Amen.
And I just want to be left alone.
Amen.
Am I a faithful man? Yes, I am. Do I do good works? Yes, I do. But I don't want the government to interfere with me, and I'm not trying to build an empire. I'm not trying to amass a fortune. I just want to have the resources that my wife and I can live out our lives and not be on the streets, essentially.
Amen. Amen. I totally agree with you 1,000%. Dan, I wanted to ask you something concerning what you had just said about how I just want to be left alone, because you know, we have the opportunity to cruise all across the country and doing events across the country. We got some coming up, as a matter of fact, next month as well, and the following month. And we see people that have homes out in the middle of nowhere, and I constantly turn and look to my family and I say, you know what those people want? They want to be left alone. That's why they're out here, way out here, the way that they're purposing to be left out here, because they don't want to be interfered. They just want to live their lives as unto the Lord, me as a preacher. And hopefully 86% that profess will align themselves with what the comment that I just made was. And so I see that all over the country. But, you know, one of the things I thought of today, and maybe this question's for you, is isn't it interesting how you see the said representative government today in America, federal and state? They're the ones that are attacking every facet of our lives. They are the ones that are bringing in this unconstitutional change 24/7. So it's not just the political battering rams that they're using, like the sodomites or the socialists or the Muslims, etc. It's the said representatives themselves that are supposed to restraining men from sin, which is one of the purposes of government, that are actually assailing men by acting out what it is that they're supposed to prevent. I'm just curious, what is it that you see? What is your perspective concerning the government, both on a federal level and a state level, concerning the government today? What are your thoughts about them?
Our government is public enemy number one, and people don't see it.
Yep.
Our parents and grandparents trusted government to do what they were supposed to do, and they weren't keeping track. They were busy raising their families, putting food on the table, working their butts off to do so. And they trusted government to do what they were supposed to do. And now it's caught up with us.
Yep.
Because no one's been watching.
Yep. I totally agree. Again, I totally agree. When you say that, it's interesting that, you know, our grandparents, our grandpas, our grandmas, which I didn't know mine, by the way, but in just speculating, I can, you know, look at a grandpa and grandma, you know, 60, 70 years ago, where they did trust the government because the government was reined in. It didn't go rogue during that particular time the way that they have today. But if you really think about it, for the most part, the American people should be able to trust their said representatives to simply do what it is that the people delegate them to do within the confines of the United States Constitution. But they're so far out there today that it's criminal on so many different levels. And I think of what Theodore Roosevelt said, because there's too many people that are just blindly following along and they're just doing what they're told to do. It was Theodore Roosevelt that rightly said that patriotism means to stand by the country. By the way, that word patriotism means to uphold dying laws. He said it does not mean to stand by the president or any other public representative, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. He goes on. It is patriotic to support him so far as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent by the inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by his country. So now we got people just blindly following those that are assailing the people. In other words, they're promoting and supporting their oppressors. And what they do is those oppressors have them, with the use of the mainstream media, believing that the people that are trying to hold them accountable are enemies to the state. So the role is completely backwards today. And I think that's one of the things that we do here, Dan, and it sounds like you're doing the same thing, is that we merely want to, you know, do what we're told to do by the Lord, not by our said representatives in a socialist system of government like we see today, but we just simply want to be free as unto the Lord. And we want to be left alone and we want to live the life. But the problem is we're called to a warfare. And obviously we're in those times of warfare in a major degree. I mean, it's been elevated like we've never seen before concerning the ones that are responsible for assailing us. So, again, I just totally appreciate your phone call. I'll give you the last word, Dan, if there's anything you'd like to add to or take away.
Yeah, to add a point, I did a communion meditation yesterday about the concept of time and how just 150 years ago in the late 1800s, people didn't have leisure time. You spent the summer chopping wood to heat your home in the winter.
Yep.
You ate food that was grown by hand, tilled in the earth by hand. You hunted game if there was to be meat on the table. You preserved things for the winter because winters were harsh. And unless you live near a city, you're working 24/7.
Yep.
And then there's time for scripture and prayer. And we have so many luxuries today, so many conveniences. We have so much leisure time. What do we do with it?
Right.
Do we pray? Are we in scripture? Do we help others? Do we learn things? That's just my other thought here.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Guy. And I'll go ahead and make comments off the air. Again, thanks for the call, Dan, from Indiana. Totally appreciate you, Guy. You know, when you drive out in the country, you'll see a lot of these, you'll see museums sporadically kind of, you know, just peppered all across the country from coast to coast. And what you'll see is you'll see these little tiny shacks. And you kind of get a little curious, so you get out of the vehicle, you walk up to it, and it's like, what was this? And I learned this 25 years ago. Why is this guy's house so small? Well, his house was so small because everything he did was outside, just like Dan had got done sharing with us. He didn't have time to just come in outside of the fact that he had to eat and sleep, and the mother raised up the children in that little tiny shack. Now it's completely upside down on its head. Everything, the roles have been reversed. Now what we do is we have these big homes, these big mansions, and that's the appeal that if we want to live again as the American dream, then this is what we're going to have to do, and we're going to have to go in debt. We're going to have to go underwater concerning our debt to basically support the lifestyles that we desire, that we lust to have. And it's just so backwards, again, as to what we used to see. And I think it was important what Dan said, too, as far as, you know, we used to grow our own food. You know that the government is warring against that now. Look what they're doing in California. They're drying up the water supplies to the farmers out there. Again, where's all of who's leveraging these attacks on the American people more than corruption in the government? And again, I just got to, as much as I hate saying it, you hate hearing it. When are the people in this country lawfully going to hold these people accountable when they don't have anything left? And I'm not talking about having anything left in the sense of wealth, because we're preaching down on that right now. We're preaching against covetousness. I'm talking about giving our children a future and a hope in this country. That's what I'm talking about fighting for. I'm not talking about, you know, obtaining something that we can't bring with us. Nope. We're to be rich towards the things of God. And if we're rich towards the things of God, we're going to get busy in this spiritual warfare that we're in. We're going to put on our wealth, our warfare, and I'm talking about our armor found in Ephesians 6:12. And we're going to get busy fighting the good fight found in 1 Timothy 6:12. On the behalf of our posterity, just the same way that our forefathers did, on the behalf of their posterity. And guess who that is, friends? That's me and you. We have a huge responsibility. Folks, we're going to end the show today, and I just want to let you know that we got the Minnesota State Fair coming up. That will be in St. Paul, Minnesota, right off Snelling Avenue. We're going to be there from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 12 days in a row. So folks, outside of that, we're going to be doing live radio as well. So we're going to be doing everything that we've always done. Also want to tell people too, that we have church every Sunday at 9 a.m. And the numbers are developing over there, where I'm really pleased to see the people that are coming in, that are digging deeper, that are not just settling for the nonsense that's being preached from the popular preachers of the day. And they're not preachers, friends. They're charlatans. They're whores before God. Again, friends, we are, as Christians, to preach against covetousness, because the Bible says that to preach gain is godliness. The Bible says withdraw yourself from them. 1 Timothy 6:5. Love you by what we do. See ya.